Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. If they're not back yet, they'll be back soon. Those big yellow things. Have you noticed, Pastor Lukumsky? You know, for the last couple of months, it was all right getting around town. Now there are these big yellow things everywhere.
Okay, you've lost me. I'm sorry, Roland.
School buses.
Oh, the school buses.
Everywhere. Apparently, do you have some sort of holy, some divine form of transportation where you just rise above the traffic and you need not worry about such things school buses stopping everywhere?
I'm out in the country, so we don't really, and I'm not up early enough to encounter school buses. By the time I'm up out on the road, the school buses have done come and gone.
The leisurely life of the pastoral ministry. We should all strive for such vocations. Pastor John Lukumsky is here. You all know him. You love him. You listen to him every Saturday at 9:05. On Wrestling with the Basics.
And I have to plug something new for Wrestling with the Basics, too. We now have a Twitter site.
Do you?
So you can follow us on Twitter. It's called Gospel WWB. But if you go on www.twitter.com and just search for the word gospel, I'm sure there's a bunch of them there, but we will be on there. And the one you're looking for is Gospel WWB for Wrestling with the Basics. And this is actually, we wanted to say a word of thanks to the Pope, because the Pope actually inspired us to do this.
Really?
A few weeks ago when Pope was down in Brazil, he said, you know, if you follow him on Twitter, that you could get some time off of purgatory. And Matt and I were thinking, well, heck, we can better that. We can give people eternal life if they follow us on Twitter.
So you can't come up with anything original. You have to copy the Pope.
Well, you know.
I wouldn't brag about that.
Well, except he was going to give you time off purgatory. We're giving you heaven.
Heaven, yeah.
There's, as usual, there'll be some silly things there. For example, someone came up and said to me that they didn't want to be part of the organized church, and I said, well, you should join our church. We're about as unorganized as you can get.
Yeah. Careful.
But then again, the whole idea is that in just, 148 characters, I think, is the limit to give people some just some gospel. That's the idea, some good news. So if you're looking for good news, just follow us on Twitter.
I have just avoided Twitter like crazy. Facebook is okay. I like Facebook because in a pinch, I can find a lot of pastors hanging out there doing their thing. Like to promote the Bible study, some of the other programs at KFUO. But Twitter, I have enough stuff consuming my time.
I thought that way too, but if people out there, if you're not doing Twitter, you really ought to do Twitter, because you can know up to the minute what Beyonce is doing. Justin Bieber, you want to know what he had for breakfast? And you can also get gospel now. You can get gospel on Gospel WWB. Actually, there is some interesting things on there. Many of the LCMS sites, missions, and the church as a whole, they have some things, so it kind of keep you up to date. One of my favorites, as long as we're saying that, is C.S. Lewis. I don't know who's monitoring that, because he's dead. But, there's some really neat quotes from C.S. Lewis, some neat quotes from Luther. Somebody's apparently doing that with Martin Luther, and I have just begun to explore.
Really?
So, but you have to remember again.
So you don't have to be a dead guy to be on Twitter.
Well, apparently not.
Thank goodness, because I would hate to see you have to.
That would kind of.
That's a sacrifice for your art, there, Pastor Lukumsky.
Yes, really. It is. But anyway, so we're excited about that, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, look what you get to do today. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 to 24.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, okay, we're back in complaint mode. Last time you were here, you were grateful for the text. Now it's back to the old John Lukumsky.
Well, see, here I'm thinking, Roland, I wasn't on for a whole month because I was on vacation, and then I got preempted for the LCMS convention. Really?
Nothing that important. You know?
I'm thinking. We could have had a lot more fun than what they were doing at the LCMS convention. And so I'm coming back, and I'm thinking, well, he's really got some peach of a text for me. I'm sure he sent it back, reserved it for me. And I got four verses of Paul complaining about Jews. What kind of stuff is this?
Oh, don't set me up like that, really. I enjoy this job.
Do you?
I do. Would like to keep it for a while longer. You've got to take Paul at face value. That's what we do with Scripture as Lutherans, as we take the text it is. But, yesterday it was about the law, the hearers of the law versus the doers of the law. Be doobies, don't be, as I guess as it used to be. Today it's all about hypocrisy.
Yes,
can't turn and spit without hitting a hypocrite somewhere. in the text today.
Excuse me, too, if I get distracted every once in a while. This is, you realize this is my first time actually working in the,
in the big
studio.
That's right. And people, it may be your last. Be
people
careful.
People go walking by, and just it's hard for me to keep my attention. Yeah. With these big glass windows, I'm not used to being in the fishbowl.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, it's also fun to watch what fascinates corporate America, so to speak.
Is that right?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's a big building. It's an office building.
Oh, sure. People. That's what I'm saying. People coming
and going. Someone left the trash can in the lobby. And everyone has had to come by and examine the car. What is this doing here?
Sitting on the middle.
This should not be here. Just, it's interesting to watch what gets people's attention. Yeah,
well, so. Actually, I think they set it out for you, Roland. You didn't get the memo. You're actually handling the garbage now.
My office used to be around by the dumpster at the old place, so I can see why. It's the continuity of the work at KFUO. That's
right.
Fun.
Well, he used to be by the dumpster.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No squirrels in the building, though. That was
no squirrels in the building.
All right.
Well, are we still starting with prayer? Are we doing that?
We are. But it's always just fun just to talk with you.
Because, it is fun. It's good to be back. I haven't seen you for a while. You know, so it's nice to be.
There's something about studying the Word of God that doesn't always have to be dour and serious.
No, it shouldn't be. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are times. I mean, you get to Holy Week and you need to be.
That's right. Good Friday, Maundy, Thursday. Yeah. But then there's Easter.
Yeah.
And, you know, see, that's what's hard for us as Christians because we know how the thing ends.
Yeah. And then you have great moments like the Ascension where the guys are standing there staring into heaven going, no.
What?
Now you're going to restore the kingdom? Don't make me come back down there. Yeah. So I love talking with you, and thank you for indulging me for because you lift my spirits. So
oh,
I know
well,
the listeners
good,
feel the same
you lift my spirits as well.
Well, thank you.
It's
not my intention, but I'm glad I could accomplish it. Let's begin with prayer for Romans chapter 2, 17 to 24, our assignment today.
Oh, Lord, we don't need your help always to understand the Scripture, but we certainly need your help today because you've plotted down for us just a handful of verses that really don't seem to have anything to say about us. It's just talking about how those stupid Jews and how hypocritical they are. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, who, by the way, you sent to convict not just Jews, but the world of sin, use this text to open our hearts and minds to see what it is that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to get in today, the phone numbers locally in St.
Louis. No cough button? We haven't got a cough button in here either?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Because this is high-end technology. You're not supposed to cough.
Oh, I thought maybe you had something that would actually edit the coughs out.
No.
Okay.
This is real live radio.
This is
not some dead guy tweeting from the beyond. This is really live radio.
Now my sinus problems and everything.
821-0850 and 1-800-730-2727. If that doesn't work for some reason, try the email. It does work. It's not Twitter, but it is old school communication. That's KFUO at KFUO.org. All right. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 to 24. Before I get to the text,
yes,
is there anything more provocative of an accusation against a Christian than you're a hypocrite?
No.
That's fighting words.
Yeah, that is fighting words. Although, actually, it shouldn't be fighting words at all because we should wake up every morning and recognize, that's what we are.
So you're a hypocrite.
We're pretty good at it. I have perfected hypocrisy.
Really?
I can't speak for you, Roland, but I'm...
Well, go ahead. That's part of being a hypocrite.
That's right. Exactly. I could. There you go.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because I'm looking over this text. And this text is kind of an extension of a parable that Jesus told. Remember the parable he told?
He told several.
I guess. I need to define it a little bit more than just
a
parable.
Help the host. That's good.
But we had this Pharisee. That's kind of people that he's addressing here, Paul's addressing here. And the Pharisee stands up in the temple, and he's telling God about how great he is and what a wonderful person he is and how faithful he is to the law. Because that's, he never misses a beat. You know, and the law asks for a tithe, he gives 12%, and then, of course, he points to the guy standing off in the corner and says, thank God I'm not like this sinner.
Bum, tax collector.
Yeah, look at that. Well, thank God I'm not like him.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the parable goes on to talk about the tax collector, the guy hoveling in the corner, won't dare look up to God. All he can say is, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Okay. But I've got this cartoon, and they've just taught the story in Sunday school. And the Sunday school's teacher response is, thank God we're not like that Pharisee. And I share that with you because that's the problem with this text. You can read through this text and say, thank God I'm not like those Jews. Thank God I'm not like these people that don't practice what they preach. And I would suggest to you that if when we get done with this, that that's your response to the verses we're going to study, you've missed the point. Go ahead, Roland.
Let's begin our text at 17 so that folks will have some orientation for where the discussion goes. At 17, it begins, but if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.
All right. So this is one of those crazy days. You actually read the whole text.
I did.
There are times when we're worried we'll get through it, but you read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's go back and start from the very beginning, though. You want to read just the first phrase there, even in the first verse 17.
But if you call yourself a Jew.
All right. Now, here's how you need to read this. If you call yourself a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if you call yourself a Methodist, if you call yourself a Baptist, a Roman Catholic, or I guess just in general a Christian. So that's the first thing you need to do, because he's not talking about Jews here. He's talking about you and me. So whatever type of Christian religious person you want to call yourself, start thinking about this in terms of you and how you think and your behavior and your thoughts. Okay. So I'll say here, if you call yourself a Christian, and what do Christians do? Well, we rely on God and boast in God, rely on the law and boast in God, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to keep the commandments. I don't want to be a thief and an adulterer.
What
and
a good
murderer.
Boy am I, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian. I believe in God and I want everybody to know that. So I want to boast in God. But that's the key thing. This text is actually a wonderful text. I hate it. Okay, because I'm in the business of preaching the gospel, which is the good news. And there ain't no good news in this text. Thank you, Roland.
Well,
there's some
sadly,
good
there
news.
So far in Romans, there hasn't been a whole lot of
love. Is that right?
There's been
is
wrath,
that right?
There's been all kinds of
things.
But
look, I'm coming back in 2 weeks, and you better give me some gospel, or I don't know.
I will.
If I wasn't getting paid the big bucks for doing this, I don't know. But on the other hand, as a Christian, I've come to learn that the gospel is, or the law rather, is really, really a good thing. I really, really like the law.
Now look at this. I got to interrupt you. I just pulled up the calendar.
Yep.
When you come back, Romans 4, 9 to 15. No laws, no transgressions.
Oh,
sounds
all
like
right.
Gospel to me.
Oh, that
is
sounds
that
like,
fair?
Okay, right, good. Well, thank you. Thank you. Man, you can actually pull that up on the computer now?
Yes, it works.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, man. So some good things have come out of the room. I'm sitting here and I've got like 6 inches of a little shelf to put my Bible on. I have to balance everything here, whereas before we had this big desk we could spend. I'm sorry. I'm going to quit whining and complaining.
What a radio prima donna you are.
By the way, have you got my M&M's?
Did the water cool enough for you?
Did you sort the M&M's for me?
Should I have fluffed your cushion a bit more before you sat down?
All right, let's keep on reading.
Right.
So anyway, you got to understand, we're not talking about Jews.
Right.
We're talking about you.
And
it's me. Let's say that. We're talking about me.
And rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent. Because you are instructed from the law.
And you know, I'm thinking this is probably how most Christians think. Yeah, this is our advantage over the people in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is why the world is so screwed up, because they don't know what the right thing is to do. But that's one thing we Christians do. We know what's right and what's wrong. See, we've learned the law. Okay, keep reading.
Where did I leave? Here we go, 19. And if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, and a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth.
I, I, And is this not what it is?
Well, these are all good things, though.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the world, and the world is blind. It's childish. It doesn't understand the fundamentals of ethics, of moral behavior. And, wow, you know, we Christians, yeah, we do know this, and we've learned it from the Bible, and we're going to be a light out there guiding the people and everything.
They're ignorant, not the pejorative ignorant, but they just don't know.
They just don't know, but we're going to enlighten them. And it's interesting that this actually was the opinion of the Jews. I ran across a passage from the Gospels where, remember, and it's funny they talk about being a light to those who are in darkness, a guide to the blind. Because remember, Jesus healed that blind guy, and they bring him before him, and their question, what's going on here and everything? How is this that you can see? You were born now as you can see. And so he starts telling about, well, I don't know, this guy Jesus. And here's their answer. You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast out. So now we're the ones. We've got the knowledge and the light. Don't you start telling us about Jesus. We don't hear any of that stuff. So it kind of tickled me that this is actually the attitude that the Jews had, or maybe that we have as Christians too sometimes. Well, anyway, I've gone from preaching to meddling, as they say.
Preaching to meddling.
Preaching to meddling. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep reading it?
Well, it says, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal?
Ah. Yeah, see, here comes the question. By the way, I love this
but
phrase.
I don't steal as much. I don't use a gun. I just, you know.
Well, this is the first question we got to wrestle with. Is Paul literally saying that these guys are stealing? That they literally are being robbers and thieves and what have you. And maybe they were. Because, you know, Jesus condemns the Pharisees and talks about them robbing. Is someone waving at us?
No, I'm just pointing out to you. Say, look.
Oh, they're finally figuring out.
They formed a committee to get rid of the trash.
They have a committee. Oh, I love being here. I love being here.
But they again, put the window in. I didn't
apparently for you, Roland, the window is a distraction as well. See, they thought it was a good idea. People could walk through and see us as we're actually doing the broadcast. Yeah. All it does is it just distracts us.
Well, Satan doth vex us so, does he not?
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, so the question is, Paul's going to have a whole list of items here we need to wrestle with. Is he meaning this literally? Did they really actually rob? And maybe he does, because, you know, Jesus talks about the Pharisees as ones who robbed the widow's house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it could be, although I don't think they probably go down to the liquor stores with a gun.
They even rob from their own parents, because they would take what should be to support the parents
that's
and
right.
dedicate to the temple.
It's Corbin, that's right, dedicated to the temple. But I do think we need to make that point. No, probably no one that's listening to us. There may be a few exceptions, but I doubt that anyone listening to us has actually ever walked into a bank with a pantyhose over their head. And But you're right. See, that's the issue. They were using what seemed to be the law. In fact, it all was legal and legitimate. But what they were really doing, they were robbing from their parents, robbing from various widows and everything. By the way, before we go on, because I actually did do some study for this. When I first looked at it, I said, well, this is ridiculous. Well, how are we going to spend an hour on, what, 4 or 5 verses? But then I thought, of course, the Cards are playing tonight, so we can always have sports talk with Roland and John if we need to. But I did find another interesting passage from Jesus now, from the Gospel of Matthew. So do and observe whatever they tell you. So they're right in talking about the law. There's nothing wrong with this. The law is a good thing. We need to know the law. You and I are not capable of determining what is right or wrong. So do and observe.
That doesn't stop us, does it?
Yeah, well, now you're getting out of the point. Do and observe what they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice, which is exactly what Paul's saying here. You teach it, but are you doing it? Mm. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Okay. So let's move on here. So thieves, preach against stealing, but do you steal? You want to keep reading there, Roland?
You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery?
Okay, and of course,
well, that's a pretty obvious one. I mean, if you haven't done what they do in Hollywood, then you're probably okay, right?
Well, see, I'm thinking this is alluding again to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he says, you know, if you look at a woman to lust after her, then you're already an adulterer in the heart. If you're angry with your brother, then you're a murderer in the heart. And exactly that's what I think Paul is trying to wrestle with here, is that maybe outwardly it could be said that you were keeping the law, although maybe not even that. But even if you could say that completely, would it be true about what's going on inside of you?
Whitewashed tombs, yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And now we're back to what you've wanted to talk about, which is hypocrisy. Because that's what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy looks good on the outside, but it's something different on the inside. As you said, the whole whitewashed sepulcher thing.
But even if you are a hypocrite, even if you do one thing different from what you say, if what you say motivates people in the faith and grows the church and gets people to open their wallets and support men, what's the harm?
Well, and see, that's now you're pushing us ahead to the final verse where it really shows what the harm of hypocrisy is. Because you see, you may think you're doing a good job of hiding it, but not only does God see it, but everybody else does too. Go ahead.
You cannot help but notice what's been in the news the last couple of months. We don't talk about things that are important, like Christians being shot to pieces in Egypt and Syria and places like that. We talk about a certain New York congressman and his indiscretions on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Was that on Twitter?
That was on Twitter.
I could be following that.
I hope not. Here's a guy who even couldn't hide it because he had to put it in public and think he could still hide it. I was going to ask you if you could name who you think the biggest hypocrite today is, and that's
oh,
the one
I can
had
do
on my
that.
List.
That's easy,
and without making me look in a mirror.
Well, no, I was going to say me. Yeah. I'm the biggest hypocrite that I know. But you're right, let's keep on pressing because Paul just keeps making one argument after the other here.
All right, now this is one that's kind of interesting. It says, "You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?"
And again, we're forced to wrestle with, is Paul literal here? And he might be. He might be. Let me see if I can find the quote here from, I think it was from, I can't find it. I think it's from Josephus, where he talks about that the Jews, there are some evidence that the Jews did that. And they thought there was nothing wrong with it because, after all, they were pagan temples, right? These are temples of idols, and God says we're supposed to hate idolatry. So they would actually go in and steal the gold and silver from the temples, because that's what temples were, kind of. They were kind of the collection places for your valuables and everything. You figured it'd be safe in a temple, right? No one would ever touch it in a temple. So that may be. But again, I think probably more likely here he's talking about the thing that you were talking about before, that they were misusing the whole sacrifice temple system to kind of conserve their own money. Well, I can't give it to you because I've pledged it to God. Whether it gets to God or not, who knows?
No.
The whole business of Malachi. You remember that passage in Malachi? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. So again, you say you're going to be making all these gifts and everything, but then in reality, you don't. Or like the people in the book of Acts that said they had sold this property and gave it to the church, and they actually kept
half. Ananias and Sapphira,
kept half of it for themselves.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, there you go. That's right. Struck down dead, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So,
And again, it's not the temple that the verse refers to. It says rob temples, plural.
But
in a sense, there was robbery going on in the temple. Proper.
Yeah,
we have the cleansing of the temple, the overturning of the money changers.
Oh, yeah, the money changers and all that stuff.
Yeah, that stuff. And then when God offers you his free gifts, if you put a price tag on that, are
there
you not
you go.
Robbing
Oh, that's a good point, too.
God?
So we have a violation not merely of offerings, but we have a violation of faith. Yeah, yeah, we're looking at it as our good works, which is probably what underlies all of this hypocrisy that Paul's talking about, because it's all about our works, isn't it? It's all about what we do, which is fundamentally the opposite of what God has called us to believe, which is it's all him. It's all his gifts. You're justified by faith, which is a gift of God by grace, not of your own doing. So
you who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law.
Yeah, there you go. So you boast about the law. You talk about how good the law is, and it is. That's the thing. That's the difficult thing here. The law is good. The commandments are fine. And then you turn around and you end up breaking the very commandments that you've told everybody else that they should keep. And like I said, now the thing we really have to wrestle with as we come up to the break here, Roland, we need to sit and contemplate. This is talking about us, and so we need to maybe discuss that. How is this talking about us? Because honestly, I'm a good Christian. I go to church every week, never miss a service. Do you know that, Roland? I've never missed a church service.
I would assume not.
Yeah.
But then you're paid to be there, so you've got... incentive that the rest of the day.
I know. It's a good gig, really.
Pastor John Lukumsky, Jolly John Lukumsky of Wrestling with the Basics is here. We should also mention St. Paul and Trinity Lutheran Churches over there in Southern Illinois, who by their grace give of your time for
they
us.
They do.
And we appreciate that very greatly. Coming up, a short break. We'll be right back.
Becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor is easy in the 21st century. First, pick a reason to celebrate, a birthday, an anniversary, or other event, and call me, Mary Schmidt, or Joni Harwell at 1-800-844-0524. For helping support the worldwide outreach of KFUO, you'll receive announcements on KFUO for a special date honoring your day sponsorship. Call us at 1-800-844-0524.
What makes Thrivent Financial for Lutherans a strong financial services organization is what has made us strong for generations. Things like holding firm to our values, keeping our promises, and offering quality products that meet the needs of our members, wherever they are in life. Strong today, strong tomorrow. Committed to meeting your needs. Contact Thrivent Financial today at 314-783-4200. Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
What would it be like to pack up your family and move to another country and culture for a few years? Hi, I'm Andy Bates. On the next Faith and Family, we'll talk with Eric and Erica Zwettler, who did just that. Eric's job has taken the whole family to Karnataka, India. We'll discuss the valuable lessons their family is learning about cultural diversity. Join us Tuesday at 11 for the next Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor John Lukumsky is here, St. Paul and Trinity Lutheran Churches, one in Darmstadt, the other in New Athens,
yes,
Illinois.
Yes.
And
not New Athens, by the way.
No, Athens.
Don't make that mistake.
Well, it is New Madrid.
Well, but it's
so
New...
And we know it's New, Madrid.
Yeah, it's New Athens.
New Athens.
Yeah, I learned that right away as soon as
you
I went down to the post
it,
office.
And I did not ask, before we get to the lesson, get back to the lesson, you are one who enjoys not only radio, but some time either on the stage or directing what goes on. Anything going on in the thespian world of John Lukumsky?
Well, not for a while, but yeah, we'll be talking about it in the weeks to come because towards the end of October, we're actually going to do some Gilbert and Sullivan. We've never done light opera. We're not telling people it's light opera because people say, what? We ain't going to the opera? No. Consider it musical comedy. That's what we'll call it. But, yeah, we'll tell you more about that. But we haven't even started rehearsals for that yet.
Our lesson of the day is based on Romans 2, verses 17 to 24. Hypocrisy is the word for the day, and we've been batting that back and forth over the ping pong table here.
That's the word.
The word for the day.
The word for the day is
what was Groucho
Marx?
Hypocrisy. You said the word for the and that
that's right.
That
yes,
thing would drop out
of
the
duck
ceiling.
Would drop down and the band would play and you'd win $500, which isn't that remarkable. That was considered a really good prize in the days of Groucho Marx.
Today, that's not even a car payment for a lot of people.
That's right. It isn't, trust me, because I just bought a new car. It is not a car payment.
Well, you know, God chose us. You mentioned this a little bit. We've talked about this all throughout Romans, how God is the one that is the prime mover. He is the one that starts all the motion in everything. So God chose us.
Yes,
so
that's right.
So brag a little bit. What's wrong with that? Isn't this a good thing? Shouldn't we be? Hey, look at me.
Look at me.
God
chose
me.
Yeah. And that was exactly the attitude of the Jews. We are the chosen people of God. You know, out of all the nations, we have been selected. But of course, the problem is from the very beginning, they never ever did live like they were the people of God. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do not make for thyself a graven image. And the first thing they do is they make themselves a golden calf and bow down and worship it.
Enough, in fairness.
Yeah.
In fairness, he just threw the gold in the fire, the calf came out.
That's right. It just, you know,
I believe that's
who
what
knows?
He, that's his story.
That's his story.
He stuck it to
it. It just happened to me, you know.
And there's a little hypocrisy again.
There again, even
who
from
was?
Aaron. Yes.
Who was the first hypocrite? I know Adam may be too easy to say that, but really, if you think back to the Old Testament, who is the really, really big offender when it comes to hypocrisy?
Well, I don't know. Who are you thinking of?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Look, we're in a new studio, but my contract still applies. I only do the text on the side. I'm not responsible for anything else.
Adam says, well, it's the woman you gave me.
Sure, that's right.
Me.
Not my. Well, yeah, your fault. You gave her to me. I was doing fine until you brought her into the whole picture.
Is Satan father of lies? Is Satan a hypocrite?
You know, that's an interesting question. Is Satan a hypocrite? I mean, we might say that, no, at least he's honest. He admits what he is. He doesn't deny it. But on the other hand, I guess you would say he's a hypocrite because he comes and offers us things that he cannot offer us. Would that not be part of hypocrisy? He comes and says, really, all I want you to do is have the knowledge of good and evil so you can be like God. Really, this is what I want for you. So I'd say that's pretty much hypocrisy.
I only want good things.
That's right. I'm only looking for what's your blessing.
That's that. 2 Corinthians, angel of light.
Yeah.
I guess he is a hypocrite.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Appears to be something that he isn't. Although, see, I think that touches upon a really important issue. Because on the one hand, Satan actually knows he's doing that. He's aware of it.
Yeah.
He's doing it intentionally.
He's not self-deceiving.
No, he's not self-deceiving. But I think, see, that's the thing we got to wrestle with here. Because I really, and people don't believe me. I know they don't believe me. But I really am a hypocrite. And I am sure that the people that I'm talking to today, they're also hypocrites. But I wonder if we aren't self-deceiving, if we haven't told ourselves, no, we're not hypocrites. Well, we're not perfect, but then no one's perfect. But at least we're trying to do what's right. And I don't know that we've really grasped that's still hypocrisy. That's still hypocrisy. I like what you were saying earlier, because it's beginning to, I'm beginning to see the heart of hypocrisy is thinking that it is important that we look like we're good. That's what it's really all about. That we appear to be these good, righteous people. And that is nothing about righteousness. Righteousness has nothing to do with that at all.
You know, not intentionally bringing Groucho Marx back into this. It just happened. What was one of the most famous things that Groucho Marx is the notable quotables?
Which one? The one about
I would never join a club that would have me as a member. There's your problem with hypocrisy in the church.
That's right. Because we wouldn't say that.
Right.
We wouldn't say. Can I read you a quote that I read across from Luther that I thought this was just so neat? And it just shocks you.
He trumps Groucho Marx any day.
Oh, any day. Okay. Yeah. Rather, you should sigh with the greatest possible ardor to him who alone has come to send fire upon the earth. And as long as you live, think of yourself in no other way than as one who does not yet love God's law and who desperately needs this desire for the law. And I thought, wow, how many of us think that way, that we do not yet love God's law? We really need, with great help, to even begin to have a desire for the law, and that's how we should think of ourselves every day, Luther says.
Well, why should I love God's law when I have the gospel? It sort of negates the point of the law, doesn't it?
But see, that's the point, and that's what I really like about this text, because this text is all law. But you're going to hear in just a few chapters, if you haven't already, that Paul says that what do we get by the law? What comes from the law? The knowledge of sin, see? So we can read through this and we can think about all the hypocrites that we have to deal with in our day-to-day life. And there's a bunch of them. I'm not denying that. And I'm sure probably the Jews in their day were hypocrites. And I'm sure we can pick out any a number of politicians and what have you and point out to their hypocrisy. But then you haven't really listened to this text because the law makes us conscious of sin. The purpose of this is to make us realize, as Luther says, we really don't love the will of God the way we think we love the will of God. And once we've come to that understanding, then the gospel becomes this most precious, beautiful thing that we can have to understand, like you said, that God loves us.
Yeah.
He actually loves hypocrites. It's an amazing thing, but he does. He honestly, in fact, he loves them so much, he set his whole life's work to die for them. Because think about the people he died for. Even his own followers were a bunch of hypocrites, weren't they? Talk about Peter. Oh, hey, Lord, don't worry, man. I'm on your side. I'll go to prison. I'll die. I'll die for you. And yet, this is exactly the one that Jesus went and suffered on the cross for.
Is this the point at which we should bring the R word into the conversation? The R word?
The R word?
See, we'd like to talk like that today. Yeah, we don't. We shouldn't talk about words. We should infer what they are, but not actually.
So are you referring to repentance?
Golly gee workers, Batman, yes. Well, okay. Because what is the point of being cognizant of the law, the fact that we don't love it, the fact that we don't keep it, the fact that we can't, no matter how hard we try, or compel others to do so, even while we can't?
Yeah.
What's the point of all that?
Well, and see, there you go, because I think everybody talks about repentance. This is not a, you don't have to call it the R word, because everyone talks about repentance. But the unique teaching, in fact, you know what? I'm thinking that probably Muslims talk about repentance. Don't you think? I think Mormons probably talk about repentance.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's probably in their vocabulary. I don't know if it's the exact word, but it's something along that lines. But you see, when everyone else talks about repentance, what they mean is, yeah, you're doing something wrong, and you better start doing better.
We don't cuss, and we don't chew, and we don't go to girls that do.
Say that one more time.
We don't cuss, and we don't chew, and we don't go with girls that do.
Okay.
That's an old Baptist friend of mine talking that line. Yeah.
So that's how usually repentance is dealt with. But obviously we can see from what Paul is saying here that the repentance he's calling for is a repentance that does just what you said in your statement to go, I cannot overcome this. This is the way I am. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I am. I do pretend. I do act like I'm better than what I am. And I just, that's how I'm wired. I'm sorry. I was born that way.
you got me firing on all cylinders now.
Is that right? Okay.
When you start making connections, and this stuff starts progressing forward to get you to the point where you need to understand, we love the law not because we keep it. We don't love the law because it motivates us to keep it better than we have been. It drives us back to the point where you acknowledge that you need someone else to do this for you.
Yeah.
That takes you back to the cross.
Exactly.
And you love it because it provides you the Savior.
That's exactly
by
right.
By which,
As Paul talks about the law being a paedagon, which was a paedagon, which in Greek culture was the guy that took you to school. He didn't teach you, but he took you to the teacher. And you're absolutely right. That's why we love the law, because it's the law that leads us to Jesus Christ and to this beautiful thing that he has suffered and died for us.
So you don't love it for its own sake. Which is what the Pharisees, I guess, were getting
at. I don't know if I want to go that far. Once you know that God loves you and God forgives you, and that your forgiveness and salvation is based purely upon what Jesus Christ did, it doesn't matter what you would do, then I think we do love the law and the fact that it is a crystal clear description of how God's will is. And we love that. We love to know the will. I love to know that God does not want my marital relationship to be damaged or hurt, that he really wants my wife and I to love each other until death do us part. I love the fact that God doesn't want people stealing my stuff. And he certainly doesn't want somebody hitting me over the head with a big club. So we do love it in that respect, that it is this beautiful description of the will of God. And in fact, what it is, it's a description of how you're supposed to love your neighbor. Have you ever thought about it, Roland? If you would simply keep the second table of the law, your neighbors would love you. You would be their favorite neighbor if you really did both positively and negatively what it says in the law. But you're right. What we really love the law for is that it reminds us that we need a Savior. And then, of course, the gospel comes and teaches us that we have a Savior, and no one in the world will be able to separate us from the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ.
Well, let's go back to this robbing temples for a moment.
Okay.
Because... again, maybe it's the way we conduct ourselves. Why do you think that Christians presume that people should listen to us when it comes to things in culture, when it comes to things in politics, or whatever it may be?
Why Christians think they should listen to us?
The world should listen to us. The pagan
world
should listen.
Why the world should listen to us? Well, I don't think why would the world want to listen?
I mean,
to
is
us?
It because we come at it from a perspective of we're better?
Well, see, I think that's the problem. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's how the world hears it. Like, well, we're superior, and we're going to try to lift them up to our standard, which I think is the biggest problem in Christian communication today, because that is not how the Christian is supposed to communicate. The Christian is supposed to communicate, hey, I am a terrible, horrible sinner. From this, I speak. You know, not that I'm superior to you, but I can see where this is evil and wicked, and this is hurting people, and I'm just inviting you to see that this is maybe not the best way to treat your neighbor as well.
Why is it, do you think, Pastor Lukomsky, that when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about Christ, we come off, even if we don't intend to be, even if maybe we aren't overtly trying to be that way as a hypocrite would be, But yet we're perceived as this. What is it about the mess? Is it the message? Is it the messenger? Is it how we deliver the message?
Could you read the last verse of the text?
Sure.
Because I think it answers your question.
For it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.
Right, right. Yeah. And no, it's nothing to do with the message. It is not inherent in the message, but it is inherent with us that we are sinners and we refuse to acknowledge and admit that. And by our failure to confess that not only to one another as Christians, but also to the world, then, of course, we do come across as hypocrites because the world looks at us and our vaunted teaching of the law and they say, just what Paul says, but you're not doing that. And it's so obvious you're not doing that. And yet you're trying to call us to this standard, yeah. See? No, the problem is not with the message. The problem is with us, the messenger. And that's the strong condemnation that Paul is making here. Mm-hmm. Could I share you another thing from
Please.
Luther? It goes along with that same quote, because I think it addresses what you were just saying.
I may have
there.
Read ahead on your notes. Who knows why I'm asking these questions?
Now, this is actually, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because the text we have for Sunday is Jesus says, I've cast fire on the earth. And, of course, wrestling with what in the world does that mean? But anyway, for by this fire, the glow of love, which I think is kind of an interesting thing, because Luther says that the fire Jesus is casting is actually a fire of love. But anyway, by this fire, the glow of love, the heretics are to be consumed, and all who understand and teach ungodliness. So this is how we get the world's attention. Not by telling them that they need to start doing better, okay, because then they just look at us and say, well, you're not doing so well. Okay, but the way we overcome the world is by the love of God and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. This is what the world has trouble understanding, but it is the thing that will convert and change the hearts of the world. So heretics are to be consumed by the glow of love. Because we have despised this fire, God has given us over to wrong notions, which I think is what you've been talking about, so that we have become hangmen and burn heretics with natural fire to be consumed ourselves in turn. So when you say, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, you should not rest assured and pat yourself on the back as if you were the one who loves the law of God. And then it goes on to what I read earlier about that we need to realize, no, we don't. So this is how we need to go to the world. We need to say, hey, this law here, that's a wonderful standard. And man, we're having such a trouble dealing with it. But we think God still loves and forgives us. But, you know, it still is a standard. And it's a good standard to love the neighbor and to be concerned about him in body and soul and his goods and everything. But you're right. That's the problem. We come across like, oh, no, you guys need to start doing this just like we are. And we really have to rethink that as a Christian church. We really, really do, because we're doing exactly what Paul says here. We're causing offense, not to Christians. Because, look, there's lots of reason to be offended at me, but unfortunately people are then getting offended at God. And that is not a good thing.
The number is 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. We've been having a little bit of trouble with the phone lines today. If you tried calling in and you've got a busy signal or it didn't answer, we're back to normal now. Well, we're functioning again.
Are we? Really?
Normalcy is a state of... Well,
no, we're not back to normal.
We can't
Come
be.
On, look at yourself.
That's right. You've been holding the mirror up pretty good today. Thank you, Pastor Lagonski. Let's go to the phones and see what James has got on his mind. Grab your Bible, even though you only have a 6-inch shelf to work from there, and take a look at 2 Timothy.
Hi, James. 3, how you doing?
7. How are you doing, James? Good morning.
I'm doing well, Pastor. How are you, brother?
I'm fine. I'm sorry. I talked over Roland there. What was the passage again? 2 Timothy.
It's right there on the screen also in front of you.
Sir?
2 Timothy, yes. Chapter 3, verses 5 to 7.
Okay. Because there might be people out there that have actually desks where they have Bibles open that they could look
that
it up.
That are more than 6 inches wide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, James. What's going on?
Well, when you come on, Pastor, all the time I have to kind of wrestle with the basics of application.
Thanks for the plug.
But you know, being a hypocrite and boasting in the nominal spiritual knowledge and in your hypocrisy seems to be very scary and dangerous and perilous for the body of believers. And I'd like for you to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, and see how these verses relate that perilous danger of hypocrites boasting in the law and in their their nominal spiritual knowledge. And I'll hang up and listen to that.
All right, James.
All right. Thank you, James. Yeah, see, and this is the thing, and thank you for drawing our attention to that. What Paul is saying here is not unique. You can go to the preaching of Jesus, and this is the topic all the time about, as you pointed out, the hypocrites, which are like whited sepulchers. They strain a gnat in order to keep out the
camels, logs and eyes and
yeah,
specks,
stuff like that. But here's the passage that James draws our attention to: having the appearance of godliness. Well, there's the very definition of hypocrisy, right? It appears to be godly,
play acting.
Well, that's right. That's exactly. Yeah. Have you talked about that before? That's what the word hypocrite comes from.
Yeah.
It was the mask that the Greek actors wore. And so, if you were sad, you wore a mask that looked sad. If you were happy, you wore a mask that looked happy. That's actually where the word hypocrisy comes from. But anyway, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women. Oh, man. Burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, it's so hard for me, Roland, because I'm thinking of so many of the guys that I hear that claim to be Christian on the radio and on the TV, and I'm wondering about all the weak women that they have
well, we've heard stories.
Captured. Yeah, oh, well, yeah, that's the thing. And but see, as soon as I do that, then I'm missing the point. This is something that I need to wrestle with. Do I have this thought that because I constantly get this new knowledge and I come here and I have these new insights and boy, that's what makes me a really super Christian because I'm always got more stuff. And then I read, no. This is a joy. It's a blessing to have the position of being a pastor and coming here on doing the Bible study and having great people like James call in. And yeah, we do see some new things. I didn't see that in the Bible before, but you do understand. No. That's not the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity is these two very, very difficult things. One, to recognize that, no, I really am a damn sinner. I mean, I'm such a nice guy. But it doesn't change the fact. Yes, if it was up to me, I would be spending an eternity in hell. And then this other beautiful thing, like you mentioned before, that God has chosen us. He really is. He's handpicked us because we were so much better than anybody else. Oh, no.
Well, and that's the mistake that Israel makes.
Yes, exactly.
Ultimately, that's what it degrades to.
That's where the hypocrisy comes from, because they actually thought God picked them because they were so much better. And yet, if you read through the whole history, no, they are not. They do the same thing that all the pagans do, except they do it as hypocrites, which makes it even worse. Because as we go back to the parable we started with, if we can confess that we are poor, miserable sinners and that we are the sinner and all we can do is say, God, have mercy on us, then God is ready to work in us with his spirit and his gospel and bring us true faith and forgiveness and love for the neighbor. But until we make that recognition, there's really not a whole lot God can do to us,
We'll go back to the phones in just a moment.
Sure.
But there's so many words that pour out of this word: hypocrite, self, righteous.
Yeah.
You know, self-fulfilling,
I guess
is another word we could look at. All these things, it makes me wonder, is hypocrisy a form of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit?
Well, we want to be careful because, you know, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin. And so I get real concerned when we start walking that, because
but you see where I'm coming from, though.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but see, the thing is, I know I'm a hypocrite, but that's not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But I think you're right. The refusal to acknowledge that we are sins, and that is certainly a crucial part of hypocrisy. Yeah, if something doesn't happen, if that doesn't change,
yeah
that does become the unforgivable
that then
sin.
Makes you a hypocrite in recovery.
Yeah. Oh, that's, well, except see, the only thing that implies that I can recover. And the fact is, no, I will always be
a hypocrite.
When I die.
But that's the way that the alcoholics, you always will be, even though you're not drinking.
Yeah, that's true.
You
know, okay. Well, if we want to take it from that sense.
Yeah, because, but the problem with the hypocrite is the hypocrite doesn't realize that
that's right, that he even needs it. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
And if you say,
yeah,
I don't need God, well, what have you just done?
Yeah. Yeah. And I always say that to people. When people say, oh, I'm worried about my hypocrite, I say, well, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're worried about being a hypocrite, because hypocrites never do.
Yeah, and that's what drives
that's
you
right.
back to the R word.
That's right. Back to repentance.
Mike,
back to the
good morning. Good morning, Mike. You're up next.
How are you guys doing?
We're well. Go ahead.
Listen, I heard a radio preacher said this, so it's not my original quote, but he said that we have the obligation to be righteous, but not the ability. And if you don't believe it, he said there's something wrong with your mind and soul. I'd be interested in your opinion on that.
All right, hang on for a second, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the surface, actually, that sounds like that's pretty much right on. Yeah, yeah. So we know we're supposed to be good. We know we're supposed to be keeping the law. And yet we also realize in our sinful flesh that we're incapable of doing this on our own. See, and I do want to emphasize that. The Bible says that when Christ comes into your life with his forgiveness of sins, you are literally a new creature. Now, here's the problem. People think it's one way or the other. The old creature is gone, and now all I got is a new creature. And I've got Christian friends like that, honest to God, this guy actually swore to me. He said, yeah, I'm pretty much perfect now. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm thinking, oh, man, you should talk to your friends. Talk to your family. They might have a different opinion. Or the other thing we get is that, okay, so it's kind of a progressive thing. So, like, I used to be mostly bad and a little bit good, but now I'm getting more and more good and less bad. And the thing that's really hard for us to comprehend is it's always both and. I will always be the sinner. I will, as long as I'm in this flesh and blood, that will always be there. And yet, at the same time, I will always be this new creature that God has loved and forgiven and changed and is truly actually capable of doing good works that are pleasing to the Lord. And the irony is I don't even think about doing them. It just is like a tree bearing fruit. It just happens. So, but I know, I think that's probably a pretty good way of saying it, that we are obligated to it. You're right. Cause that's the other danger, that we would say, oh, well, God forgives us, so we don't really need to give a damn about the law. No, that's not the deal. Does that come up in Romans? Isn't there some place here in one of Paul's letters where he says,
yeah, I don't read ahead. I do it day to time.
Let's sin some more so right. Grace can abound. No, we're not trying to do that either. So, no, actually, it sounds like a pretty good quote for me. So maybe them radio preachers are better than what I give them credit.
maybe one or two, yeah. You got anything else for us, Mike?
Anything, Mike? I'm sorry.
No, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, nice to hear from you today. Thanks for the phone call. We have a few minutes left. You can still get in, 821-0850. 1-800-730-2727.
What do you think about Matheny changing the pitching there so that we've got Wainwright coming up in the first game against the Pirates tonight? You think that was a good move to change the rotation?
It's all in God's hands.
I'm sorry. Have we got more to talk about?
We do.
All right,
actually, I've got several more things.
I see that.
You've
got all kinds of notes. Well, go ahead. I'll shut up.
The question is this, about when we are commended to examine our hearts.
Yes.
Which is what you've been talking about.
Yeah.
You know, people that worry about whether or not they're a hypocrite. Ultimately, that drives us back to the R word again, the repentance
yeah.
again. Paul hasn't used the word yet in Romans, but it's all over the place. Why is repentance so important as an antidote for hypocrisy?
Well, see, here's the thing. And I think the reason why Paul has not used the word repentance yet, because, see, that has been co-opted by us hypocrites. Well, seriously, of course we repent, you know, but of course we don't understand what that means. We just mean that we acknowledge that we did a few things wrong and we'll be doing so much better this week, you know. So what Paul is actually doing is doing some wonderful preaching here of the law, laying the groundwork so that when we finally do get to the repentance part, we can understand what he's saying. That this is, and Roland, something you said earlier, and I just want to emphasize that, this is built into us, Roland. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is why you die. You want to know why God kills people? Because that really bothered me. Why is there death? Because there's no other way of doing it. Because in this sinful flesh, I will always be ruled by lust and covetousness and anger and stuff. I cannot get rid of that. It is built into this flesh. Now, thank heavens God has forgiven that, and he still loves me despite what is in my flesh. But, yeah, that's what repentance is. It's not that I'm going to try harder and do better. It's just what I am. I love that line from that parable. I am the sinner, the guy says.
Yeah.
Not just a sinner, or not just I've sinned sometimes, but I am the sinner. But then, of course, it gets so great because Jesus Christ comes and says, hey, listen, guys, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinners. That's what I'm here for. And that's the thing we rejoice in the gospel. And I love your insight earlier. That's why we really love the law, because the law is what always brings us back to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So if you find a hypocrite in the midst of your congregation, would run him out?
No.
No?
No, no.
How do you restore a brother who's a hypocrite? You've got 30 seconds.
I've got 30 seconds.
Actually, you have less than that.
I think what you do is you love him. You love him and you forgive him. That's what you do. And then you let God lead them down the path to repentance.
Pastor John Lukumsky is part of the Wrestling with the Basics team every Saturday morning at 9:05. If you haven't been listening, the question is, why not? It's the best program on at 9:05.
That's right.
With Pastor Matt Clark.
That's the only program on here at 9:05.
All the best to the good folks at St. Paul and Trinity. And, well, thanks for coming out. I love spending time with you.
I love
being
with you too, Will. It's good to be back in the routine.
Faith and Family's next. Stay
right. Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.